my friend Victor, he listens to some of my stuff, and he says, I thought you were going to say and a one and a two, like a band. So, but anyway, we're glad to see everybody. We are missing a few. I know some aren't feeling well, and some are sick, so let's keep them in our prayers and be mindful of them. And we want to welcome everybody who will be viewing online. I mean, we believe what we believe. We teach what we believe. And there's no doubts about what we believe. Because if we didn't believe it, we wouldn't be teaching it. So it's very simple. And we're going to talk tonight about our duty to others, towards others. And honestly, it is the second most important duty we have. You know, that's similar to what when Jesus asked the question, what is the greatest command? And yes, the answer is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your mind, your soul, and your strength. And then the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two rests the whole law. We find that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. So our duty to others is the second greatest command, and it is the second most important duty that we have as Christians. Now, for some reason, there's a disconnect with a lot of Christians that they don't see they have a responsibility to other Christians. I mean, they basically, well, if I go to church, that's good enough for me, and I don't need to do anything else. And, of course, that's missing the mark. That is missing out on what God wants us to do. Because our relationship with others is going to guide them, and that's about the only way we are going to be able to lead people to Christ is if we set up a relationship with them. And we've got to build up a friendship. We've got to build and maintain relationships so that we can grow in those relationships. Like I said, for some. Now, this isn't everybody, and it probably doesn't talk about a lot of people in this room, but a lot of times members of the church fail to recognize their duty towards others. They keep their nose clean, they check off the list of thou shalt nots and say, okay, I'm doing pretty good, and they fail to recognize their duty to others. And these others may be our brethren, it may be family or friends, or it may be complete strangers. We still have a duty to them. And as we mentioned several weeks ago, when we asked the question, who is my neighbor? You know, the lawyer came up, and who is my neighbor? Before Jesus told him the parable of the Good Samaritan. Our neighbor is anybody we come in contact with. I mean, it could be the grocery store clerk. It could be the person that's walking along the pathway that you're on. So that's your neighbor. That, even though they may be strangers, you still have a duty towards them. We have a duty to share the gospel message, and that's what God expects us to do. So we need to do that and look for every opportunity we can. See, God holds us accountable for how we treat others. And the scriptures dictate that. We're going to read some scriptures in a little bit that kind of explain that point. And so we are accountable how we treat others. And you just got to think that if there's any way in which we mistreat someone, folks, we're not going to heaven. It's just that simple. If you have a grudge against someone and you harbor that grudge, Just get in your head right now, you're not going to make it to heaven. We have to get rid of those things. You know, in 1 Peter 2, when he says, now put away wrath, bitterness, jealousy, and strife, and anger. You put those things away. Why? Because each one of those will keep you out of heaven. If you're angry with somebody, if you harbor ill feelings toward somebody, if you hate somebody, you cannot go to heaven. And folks, we want people to go to heaven. So that tells us we need to get those things out of our lives. And of course, when we do that, what kind of people are we going to be? We're going to be the kind of people God wants us to be. We're going to be great people. So the one thing that gets in the way of treating others properly is the little thing called selfishness. And we all know that. Yeah. I mean, selfishness is one of the major sins that we so often allow into our character. In fact, you don't commit any sin except it be through selfishness. I mean, you got to realize that. I mean, even if you're not even thinking, it's because you decided you wanted to do something. You didn't know if it was sin or not, but you did it anyway. I mean, because you wanted to do it. And we only sin when we want to sin. I mean, we have that choice. It's not something that we can't help. We talked last week about temptations, overcoming those temptations. And why? Because we have a choice to make when we are tempted. And so we allow every sin to come into our character, into our being, because of selfishness. And it's the primary cause of sin. And selfishness prevents us from noticing others. And we all know that. When people get so fixated upon what I want, it usually leaves out the others. When you focus upon me, you lose your focus upon we. I mean, it's just that simple. And we don't want that to happen, because we, as a congregation, are what should be our focus as far as helping each other get to heaven. But if all you're ever doing is talking about me, 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 it's what I did, what I want, what I think. I mean, you lose the focus upon what's best for the we. So we're going to notice some things about others. And first of all, they are not us. I mean, we got to get that in there right now. It ought to be quite obvious. I mean, so, but they are not God either. And so that also has to be very obvious. And God tells us we must consider others as more important than ourselves. And that's where, like I say, when you have that selfishness going on, you don't think about others' feelings. You don't think about others, how they think, how they feel, or what they want. It's always what I want. It's like the people say, well, where do you want to go eat? Make a suggestion. I don't want to go there. You know, whatever your suggestion is, I don't want to go there. So it's really, it gets down to what I want. And that's whoever does the decision making, whoever's the alpha, I guess, they choose where they're going to eat. And some people might be just as happy to go to Subway and eat a sandwich, or they may want to go to Texas Roadhouse and eat a steak. I mean, or go to eat seafood or something. But another point is, we need to realize that our judgment will be measured heavily by how we treat others. And we read this in the scriptures. And yes, when we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account of what we did. But we're also going to be given account of how we treated others. Yeah, there's some people that have treated us and mistreated us, and how we respond to that will have a bearing upon our judgment. And so, not just those who are nice to us, which is easy to do. It's nice to be nice to those who are nice to us, but even those who abuse us and use us. I mean, God talks about these things. See, Matthew 5, 43 and 48, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Which seems like, oh, that's fair. I mean, that's the way this world goes. It's okay to hate people if they don't think the way you think. It's okay to hate people if they cut you off in traffic or if they abuse you in some way. And that's okay. But Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. How can we be children of God if we can't take on the character of God that loves everyone? God loves the world. He sent his son to die for them. And I mean, he provides all the physical blessings that causes the sun to rise on everyone. And the rain comes and blesses everyone. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? I mean, this is kind of strange to hear, but it's okay. It's easy to love the ones that love you, right? I mean, your mommy and daddy, your children, your close friends, they demonstrate love to you, so it's easy to love them. But where's the reward there? I mean, it's not that much. It might be a little self-satisfaction. But he says, do not even the tax gatherers do the same? You know, tax gatherers, they were some of the most hated people of all in that culture. They hated them because a lot of them kind of, they just made the rules as they went along. Mm-hmm. And if you happened to wear a nice suit on Sunday, your taxes were raised just because you dressed nice. And so that's what they did. And they took advantage of people. And so if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Yeah, we get into little cliques. We get into our little, we hang around the same kind of people, and we don't go out of our circle of friends and try and make friends with other people. I mean, what are we doing more than others? He says, do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So Jesus is laying down a commandment for them, laying down a new set of rules, which has to change their way of thinking. In Luke 10, 25 through 28, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and all, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. I mean, that's the same thing he said in Matthew 22. And so then the guy says, well, who is my neighbor? That's when Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we should be very familiar with that story because it makes a point. And when you think about who those people were that walked by, they saw the man in terrible situation, they just walked on by. Who are those people? You and me. We are those people. And until we can have compassion on people and reach out to them to assist them, we're no different than the Levite and the priest. We are no different. See, in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. See, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. See, when we have selfishness, we're always looking out for number one. We're always looking out, what do I want? I don't care what he wants. I don't care what she wants. I don't care what anybody wants as long as I get my way. And how many people do you know that are like that? Too many. There's so many that are like that. And you're going to find that even in the church, there are many who have that type of attitude. And Jesus said, you got to do something different. You've got to change. You've got to consider the others. You got to consider them and not just look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. And so that means we got to be on the same page, and we got to be able to reach out and help others in what they need. See, in Romans 12, 9 through 13, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Amen. That's a mouthful right there. And really, back in verse 10, be devoted to one another. And he's talking about our brethren. Can we honestly say we're devoted to each other? I mean, maybe a few of us, we built up some friendships. We seem to be devoted to each other. We love each other. We care about each other. But the scripture said, be devoted to one another. And then, of course, we read in our Friday night study, we talk about being devoted, the deeds of discipleship, devoted to God. In other words, you love God so much, He is your everything. Can we say that about our brethren, that they are our everything? I mean, that's hard. I mean, it's a hard pill to swallow. And so, just remember that I'm included in the we. So, that's there. But we do need to give preference to one another. That preference is the same as back where he says, also the interest of others. We need to give them preference. You know, Matthew 25, 37 through 40. This is the great judgment scene where Jesus gathered them all together and saw the great throne room and him who sat upon the throne. And he brought them all there and separated the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And Jesus spoke to the righteous, saying, you did all these things for me. And in verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? I mean, these people were asking this question, you know, I never had that opportunity. I mean, I didn't do that to the Lord, and they know it. But the king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then in a similar way, he spoke to those on the left and says, you didn't do these things for me. And then he will answer them saying, truly, I say to you, to the extent you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Then he will cast them into the burning lake of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, like I said, how we treat others. You know, there's a passage in the Proverbs talks about that how we treat our fellow man, because our fellow man, in a sense, is a child of God, a son of God. In a general sense, yes, everybody is a child of God. But we sometimes, when we start talking child of God, we talk about those who are Christians. But in the Old Testament, God says, how you treat somebody, that's how you treat me. And so we just have to be aware of that. Galatians 6, 1 through 5, and then in verse 10. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yes, that especially to those of the household of faith, yeah, we should give Christians preference and work with them if we can. If you have two business people you're doing business with, one's a Christian, one's not, guess what God tells you should be doing? Working with the one who is a Christian, helping them out, helping their business succeed, and do that. But yet, as Avery was talking this morning about examining ourselves, we've got to examine our own work. What have I done? I mean, it doesn't do any good to look out and say, now, I see brother so-and-so doing this or sister so-and-so doing that, and then trying to compare myself. No, that doesn't do any good. I have to be responsible for me, as I will stand before God alone, as we mentioned this morning, naked and alone, naked and bare before Him, nothing hidden from His sight. So, while we have opportunity, when does that opportunity get here? It's always here. We just ignore it a lot of times, and sometimes we don't even look for it. But it is always here. Last week, in our singing, we sang the song Others. And this was written back around 1872 and published back then. And so the language uses that kind of language from that day. And it's sometimes kind of hard to put into our modern day English. But as it goes in verse 1, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. In other words, when you pray, don't just think about yourself. Oh, I want that job. I want that new car. I want this. I want that. But when you do finally get down and kneel to pray, make sure you're praying about others. I can tell you, most of the people in this room do that. A lot of people in this room do that. You're always praying for others. I mean, sometimes we neglect ourselves, and we don't pray for ourselves sometimes. And it takes, we're trying to be humble before God, and me, I'm not that important, at least in the grand scheme of things. I'm not. I mean, my brethren need assistance from God much more than I do. Some are sicker than I am. Some have other difficulties. And so I shouldn't be always sitting there what I want and sitting there maybe even trying to justify myself. You know, like the rich man and the publican went up temple to pray, or the Pharisee and the publican. Pharisee prayed thus to himself. You ever notice that? He prayed thus to himself. He wasn't praying to God. Oh, yeah, I'm so great. You owe me a lot of stuff. It's like the person who basically thinks that every time they do something good, they get a gold star. Look at all my gold stars, Lord. That's what they do. And verse 2 says, help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true. Simple enough. And know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. If I'm going to do anything for Jesus, it's going to come in the way of serving others. That's what Jesus came to do. And so we should be serving others. If we expect our service to Jesus, this is what we should expect to do. Do for others. Verse 3, let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. Yeah, we gotta deny ourselves, right? Jesus said do that. Crucify our old self. I mean, Colossians chapter 3, put to death the old man, put on the new man. Romans chapter 6, buried to rise and walk in newness of life. And so, everything about myself, I've got to push aside. It's no longer about me that we need to consider. I take myself and put it aside. And if there's any chance I'm going to rise again and become what God wants me to be, it's going to be because I live for others and serve others. Then in the chorus it says, others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others that I may live like thee. You know, when you start thinking about motto, we're all familiar with the motto of the Boy Scouts. Be prepared. I mean, we've been hearing that for many years. And then a lot of companies, they have a motto that basically identifies themselves, whatever it might be. I mean, like Nike has Just Do It. I mean, that seems to be their motto. And of course, that's in all their promotional ads and everything. And so some companies do this. I mean, they set up a model, they repeat it time and time again so that eventually people associate their company with the slogan that they have put forth. And when it comes to ourselves, what are we going to be known for? What is our life all about? Well, what our life is all about should be to help me live for others, to do for others, to serve for others. And why? Because that's what Jesus did, and we want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
So our duty to others, as the words of the song and the sentiment of these verses tells us, we do have a very important duty towards others. And we need to pay attention to that duty because it is very important. And we just can't slough it off, we can't pass it along and say, that's not my job. No, that's the job of every Christian, is to help every other Christian get to heaven. And those who are outside of Christ, our job should be to help them get to heaven. Certainly we'll try. I mean, we can't force anybody, but we'll try. And God is going to reward us for the effort we put into it. But if we don't put any effort in trying to help people get to heaven, is God going to reward us? Think about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, everybody ought to holler out and say, no, he's not going to reward us. And that's something we need to be aware of. Because it doesn't matter if you've been going to church for 50 years now, if you're not helping anybody get to heaven, if you're not trying to help people get to heaven, God doesn't need you. Yes, this requires humility on our part and a self-sacrifice to help and assist others as we have the opportunity. And notice I did not say as we have the convenience. There's a difference there. As we have opportunity all the time. Is it convenient? Not always. But guess what? We have to prioritize what is more important at this very moment. Like last Friday night, we're getting ready to take off to Bible study. We get a phone call. Someone wants to be baptized. There wasn't any doubt there. We knew what was more important. So we did that. And so, yeah, I mean, all it did just delay us from getting there for a while, but anyway. Yeah, sometimes we might be on the way to services and we notice someone on the side of the road. Stop them. What can I do for you? Can you use the phone or something and help you out somehow? Yeah, as we have opportunity, not as we have convenience. See, there will always be those who are in need. No doubt about it. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. There's going to be those people. A lot of them are in those circumstances because of the things and the choices they've made. But still, they're going to be there. And we may find ourselves there at some point. We might be basically lost our income. And now we can't pay the rent. And guess what? We may have to live in our car. We would hope that others treat us as we want to be treated. What greater thing can you do for anyone than to introduce them to God and His salvation that He offers?
Amen.
You can't do anything greater than that.
No, you cannot.
If we want to live like to Christ, we must do everything we do for the benefit of others' souls. I mean, we have to do that. And so we want to be like Christ. He died so that people could be saved. And so we need to make the sacrifice in our life to serve others. Just like Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. Here he is, a king, saying, I don't want to be served. I want to serve. True, we must be wise and not wasteful, and that will require wisdom.
Amen.
And so, yes, we need the wisdom to know that sometimes it's a lost cause. I mean, I was thinking about Bible discussion, and we were talking about this the other day. You know, if you're going to sit down and discuss the Bible with somebody, you've got to basically come to an agreement that you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we're going to let the Bible tell us what the truth is.
Amen.
We're not going to rely upon feelings or anything like that. We've got to turn to the Bible and stick with the Bible. Let the Bible be the final say in everything. If they won't agree to that, you're just wasting your time. Don't even get in a discussion with them. So don't even do that. So yes, we need wisdom. And we do what we can for others to the best of our ability, but there's sometimes you got to let them go. Just like Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else, because there's other people who want to hear.
Amen.
How you treat others will determine your soul's destiny. I don't know how much plainer we can make it. It really does. And if you treat anyone with animosity, and you can probably go back and start thinking, well, I mistreated so-and-so years ago. How do I make it up to them? If they're still alive, maybe you can call them up and apologize. I mean, there is no time or anything. Uh-oh. Okay. Oh. All right. Somebody in the Philippines is watching us. So we're glad you're here. All right. There will be much more to discuss, but for now. Yeah, we can talk about this all the time, and we cover this theme, and just be considerate of others. That's what it boils down to. And if we want to go to heaven, we better be considerate of others and serve others. So that's our lesson for this evening. We know that everybody in this room has obeyed the gospel, so we're not going to offer that invitation. But you know what? We never know that something we say might touch someone's heart, and they said, you know what? I need to get right with God because I have been failing. And we don't know that. So we're going to offer that opportunity to you. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing. Okay.